Welcome back. Mike Warren Thomas here. It's The Grapevine on WISL 1040, 92.1 FM, and happy Mother's Day to everyone out there. It was great to see a bit of sunshine this morning rather than a couple of inches of snow, which may yet arrive at some point the next couple of days. And I certainly saw a few photos posted of the Finger Lakes with maybe a little more southern Finger Lakes rather than Rochester, with a scattering of snow. There was near whiteouts here yesterday, and they closed the Newbury Park Pastries farmer's market a little early because you basically couldn't see anything for probably 15, 20 minutes. It was a February blizzard. It's just normal. It's spring in the Finger Lakes, that's all. And we have a special guest with us from Fox Run Vineyards. It is Scott Osborne. He and his wife Ruth, owners of Fox Run for a long time now. And Scott, good morning.
Good morning, Michael.
It's great to hear your voice. You know, and in this shutdown period, we don't see as much of each other in the wine industry or restaurant industry or in general. And so really great to hear your voice. And how much snow did you get down at Fox Run yesterday?
Well, at one point, I couldn't see the lake from my office, so it was coming down pretty good. But, as soon as the sun came out, it just melted
right
away. So.
Yeah,
it was interesting watching, though, I'll tell you, because, you know, I have a saying, it always snows on the Forsythia.
Yeah, it does. Really every year, I mean, at some point. Fox Run is very close to the lake, and this is kind of this weather we're having this last week and the next couple of days, a perfect example why you love those lakes, right? You need to be close to them.
Yeah, they moderate everything, and then, you know, our low temperatures have really not been as low as everybody else's, and a lot of that has to do with Seneca Lake.
So what's happening at Fox Run right now during the shutdown? You're doing curbside and shipping?
Yeah, we do curbside and then shipping. People can order online at foxrunvineyards.com. And we're also working in the vineyards, and we're working in the production facility too. So, you know, being designated an essential business, we can still do the basic stuff that we need to do to get the vineyards ready for bud break, which will probably be any day now. And then, we have to bottle everything so that when harvest comes around, we have empty tanks to take in the new grapes that come in. So.
All right, and the free shipping, 6 bottles or more, that's you extended that through June 15th, I think.
Yeah, we're going to basically do that as long as the tasting room is closed. And it's something that we can do to, just help everybody in this challenging time. So we're going to extend it. As soon as the tasting room opens, it'll be a different story. And what that is, I don't know yet. Each day is a new challenge.
Right. Yeah. Well, you announced fairly recently that the Garlic Festival won't happen this year. You're going to plan on 2021?
Yeah, we've gotten some feedback from people who were all questioning why we did it so early. And, we took a good look at what's been happening and, with other countries and this COVID-19, and we decided that it would be better for us, our employees and our customers, just to cancel it and be on the safe side, rather than waiting until a week before we would normally have it and then cancel it. There's a lot of challenges that I didn't realize were go into. organize an event like that, and, you know, you have to rent tables, you have to do all this. So, well, all those people are closed, so it's really hard to make contact also.
And it's the scale of this event, it's one of the largest events in the Finger Lakes. You get around 10,000 people on a weekend in August, and the planning that goes into it is months in advance, so you really, it's not that early to decide, in a sense.
Well, yeah, we felt, and that, so our vendors also felt that. They felt it was a really good decision.
Yeah.
You know, it's also interesting, you know, the Garlic Festival, people come from all over the country for that event. And you know, we have no idea what's going to be happening within this country and in other states with this virus. So, you know, that it's pretty much a safety issue for everybody involved.
Yeah. Well, Mother's Day is often one of the busiest days in restaurants, and you would have your cafe up and running by now with Bud Holland and food and thousands of visitors. This really is kind of the start of the busy season normally for tourism in the Finger Lakes, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yep. Nope. Mother's Day is one of the bigger days, and, you know, it's you know, a lot of people like to take their mothers out wine tasting on Mother's Day, and so sometimes it's also Hobart William Smith graduation, and you know, there's all sorts of things that happen right around this time, and it's the basic opening of the Finger Lakes, and it's pretty slow here right now.
Yes, quiet in the vineyards, but also in the tasting room, kind of a surreal. But you're getting orders, you're shipping wine and doing curbside pickup, but there's really no way to replace the amount of wine that consumers would be buying when they're in the tasting room.
Oh, correct. And, you know, as the summer rolls around, it for sure won't keep up to what we're used to. So it's, it's a challenge for all of us. And, you know, we're not the only industry out there that's not looking forward to the next couple of months. And, you know, we all want to open as soon as possible and as soon as it's safe. And, we've been working, the New York Wine Industry Association has been, which is a winery association, has been working to develop standard operating procedures, you know, basically safe practices that we will follow to so that when the governor allows us to open up, we will not only have these practices in for the safety of our employees, but also for the safety of our customers. And, we do, even when we open up, we have to realize that this this virus, there is no vaccine and there is no cure. So we all have to be safe, and it's going to change how our tasting rooms are, operated. There's not going to be large groups tasting at the same time. More than likely, it's going to be reservation only. There's only going to be a certain amount of people allowed in a tasting room at any one time. So it's just going to change how the Finger Lakes wine industry has been catering to the customer. It's just going to be a different world out there.
And Fox Run has, you have really, I guess, probably four spaces indoors and then potential places outdoors to do tasting, so you can spread people out that way somewhat.
Yeah, we can. The outdoor part of it is questionable because, we can have people can come and drink a glass of wine outside, but there's a question whether or not we can pour wine or sell wine outside because of the way the laws are. Each winery has to have a bond where they can sell their alcohol, and that's usually the footprint of the building. And we're not allowed to sell outside that that footprint. So outdoor tastings may not be allowed. Well, we're petitioning for that to happen, but at this point in time, you know, I don't think it's going to happen, but we're asking.
Yeah. Well, the State Liquor Board and regulatory agencies have made some changes, you know, that's helped a little bit for restaurants, maybe more so than wineries. Perhaps, you know, as economic pressure grows, they will relax some of those things a little more, at least for a year or something, and then, you know, it would automatically end at that point the whatever special measures they allowed. So, you know, again, that kind of lobbying is kind of behind the scenes, and hopefully some of that will be successful. And you got to be organized to, you know, as an industry to try to make that happen.
Oh yeah, and you know, if you don't ask, you know, it'll never happen. So we're asking, and the hope is that they'll allow that, because you know, with proper social distancing, you know, most tasting rooms of these small wineries are, you know, there's almost not enough room to keep them in business. So the ability to taste our wines and sell them outside in our back lawn, for instance, would help increase the customer count. And, you know, so many people do come to the Finger Lakes to go wine tasting, and it would help us accommodate a lot of those people rather than having them standing out or sitting in their cars waiting to come in. So it would be a big boon, I think, and helpful. And, you know, if there was a sunset clause in it, like a year or something, it would be, you know, at least get us through October and November.
Yeah. Yeah. And if the snow would just end, then, you know, you could do more outdoor things.
That's right.
Scott Osborne is with us, Fox Run Vineyards. And for people aren't familiar with Fox Run, Scott, it's the west side of Seneca Lake. And what's the kind of the history of the winery?
Well, Michael, we've been, the winery opened in 1990, and I purchased it in 1994. And you know, we were one of 14 wineries on Seneca Lake at that time. And, you know, the industry's grown substantially. You know, we've gone from just selling out of our tasting room to we're selling in about 15 states and in Canada and in Europe. We've just been contacted by some folks in Taiwan who are interested in carrying our wine. So, you know, we've come a long way in all those years. You know, we've got a lot of support in the Rochester market. You know, most of the wine shops and liquor stores up there carry our wines. And we've enjoyed every minute of it. And we enjoy meeting all the people who do come down here and visit.
What wines are being shipped to Europe? What are the Europeans drinking of Finger Lakes wine?
They're drinking un-oaked Chardonnays and Cabernet Franc, Lemberger, and Dry Riesling. Those seem to be the wines that sell the most.
But they make Chardonnay in France. They don't really need more Chardonnay in Europe, do they?
You could say that. But, you know, our wines tend to be pretty good value for the quality. And, you know, in Northern Europe, where, you know, wines from other regions have been coming for years, you know, people are a little more open to trying wines from other regions, you know, New Zealand, California, Australia, and the Finger Lakes and New York. So the wines that we make, and we as the Finger Lakes industry, are very similar to the wines being made in Europe, and especially in Northern Europe. And so they fit right into the palate acceptance of that consumer. And you know, as long as the wines are in in the right price point, you know, they buy them. And because we produce great quality wines, they're happy to buy them and drink them. So.
Well, I remember you saying, I think last time I interviewed you, that you've been to Europe a number of times to do tastings there to help with distribution in Europe. And then you've had a couple of these people show up in your tasting room that met you in Netherlands or Belgium or wherever the tastings were.
Yep, that's true. And you know, it used to happen quite a lot. You know, things have changed in the last 2 years, and you know, we don't see that as much. But it's interesting though that when an industry like the Finger Lakes or like New York wine industry goes into Europe, and we do tasting, the wine people there are, one, surprised that you know, we can actually grow grapes here. But then they're so impressed with the fact or the quality, and so impressed with the amount of wineries that they plan their vacations to come here. And you know, when they do come here, they spend a lot of money. I mean, it's in the whole region, you know, as the hotels and the, you know, cars, they do all those things. And it's quite surprising. But when you start actually thinking about the wine consumer, you know, who goes to California, who goes to Europe or whatever, those same people are going to come to the Finger Lakes because we make great wine.
We're also near Niagara Falls. That's, you know, a destination for people around the world, and New York City. So we're right in between the two.
Yep. And although it's really funny because when people come here to visit, they're totally blown away by the how long it takes to get from one place to another. You know, 5 hours from New York City. Well, they can go to five countries in 5 hours. And, you know, one of our partners in Europe brought his kids, and they couldn't believe that they had to drive, you know, when they drove to the Adirondacks or down to New York, they couldn't believe that they were still in one state. It was just beyond their comprehension.
Well, Scott Osborne is with us from Fox Run. And one last note about those tastings in Europe. I always think about it because I've got a teenage daughter. Yeah, some of these kids that are coming up to taste wine in several of these countries, drinking age is 16, and you've got knowledgeable people who are in high school that are interested in our wines. It's just kind of an odd thing when our drinking age is 21.
It is. That's and you know, when we do tastings, you know, there'll be a parent will come in with a 14, 15, or 16-year-old kid, and the laws there is if the parent is there, the child is allowed to taste the wines as long as they got the parental permission right there, and which is you can't do in this country, that's for sure.
No, you wouldn't want to do that. There are big fines.
Oh, yeah. Well, including losing your license. So that's a big fine right there.
Right. But, again, just a reminder of how different things are around the world, really, in terms of the age at which people can and drink it. I probably won't think about it as much once I don't have a teenage daughter or ages out or ages into wine drinking. It won't occur to me as much as it does these days. But we're talking about going to Canada. I think Ontario its age is 19. And so she could come with me in a tasting room in Ontario, Canada, and have a glass of wine. She's interested in wine, and she's got to wait two more years here. It's a little crazy. Not something that's going to change anytime soon, but just kind of a funny note about the tastings that you do in Europe. And one of the things that the shutdown has done is maybe to create some interesting marketing ideas, and your dry rosé is part of the FLX collaboration case, so people can get 12 different bottles of dry rosé from around the Finger Lakes in one case, and that's that just seems like a fantastic idea. I got one, and we've consumed several of those already, and I love that idea. It really sort of typifies what the Finger Lakes is about with the Tierce collaboration that you're involved in. Excited to see how what comes of that FLX collaboration case.
Yeah, it's a great package, I can tell you that much. It's full of really, really, really good wines, good dry rosés, that's one of the things the Finger Lakes is known for within our industry is the collaboration between wineries and winemakers and business owners. And you know, we're here to help each other out as much as we can. And you know, there's always if there's an issue or a problem, you mention it to a couple other owners or a couple other winemakers, and there's always a helping hand. We know that the better all the wineries do, the better the region does. And the only way you can do that is to collaborate and make sure that, you know, everybody's working together, everybody's learning together. That's the most important thing, is just to be able to learn and pass that around amongst your neighbors.
Well, but that doesn't happen in most wine regions. You know, California, other parts of the world, it really takes some key people to kind of set up that. And maybe that's because they're older wine regions. We can kind of reinvent this idea because we're a younger wine region.
Well, it's also, I see that when you get corporate America coming in and buying wineries, that happens out in California, and you get people who are used to working in tires or whatever industry that's out there where they're trade secret. They tend to follow that model and prevent their winemakers from talking. They have to sign non-disclosure agreements and all that. Once people start to realize what the wine industry is all about, you can find a recipe online or you get it through Davis. It's like cooking, and it's really hard to. It's really hard not to be able to find out how to make a Chardonnay, for instance. The key is the artistry of the winemaker and the style that they decide to make. My next door neighbor can practice the same things we do and the wines will still taste different. They may taste like Chardonnay, but they'll have a different style just because of the time spent in barrel or the time not spent in barrel or the grapes came from a different vineyard all of those different things, those variables, make it why would you want to keep a trade secret? Because some point, somebody's going to be using it just because they invented it on their own. So,
well, it's been a distinguishing feature of the Finger Lakes, and just because I like to try different wines as much as I can, I would love to see a FLX collaboration case of dry reds and a collaboration case of dessert wines and a whole series of them. It would be a lot of fun. The dry rosé is the one that's available now through Zugabee Vineyards. They're the ones who are kind of coordinating it and shipping it, or that's where you do the pickup, as at Zugabee Vineyards up on north end of Seneca Lake. I don't know. I'm sure some people are thinking about expanding that idea of the collaboration case. I just love having 12 different dry rosés. It's especially a good one to start with because they're good variation of color in the bottles, so it's just they're pretty bottles with a light pink color
and all different colors of light pink, which is always nice to see. And
yeah, now Fox Run just released a dry red in a can, right? The first you've done a number of canned wines, but this is the first dry red.
Yep, and we're loving it. It's a Cabernet Franc Limburger blend. We just call it Fox Run Red in a can, and there's always these people who don't want to drink wine out of can, but I'll tell you what, it's when you're sitting at home and you only want a glass or two glasses, a can is perfect. You don't have to open up a whole bottle. And, it's fresh. It stays fresh quite a long time. So it's really a convenience thing, especially, you know, summer's coming around and you want to drink a red wine on your boat, and there it is. You don't have to worry about glass and sitting at the pool. You don't have to worry about glass breaking and all that kind of stuff. So it's, as things change, you know, one of the things that we as an industry are looking at is new packaging. You know, one, to be environmentally conscious, you know, lower our carbon footprint. You know, what about recycling? You know, and those are all important factors to our industry and how we're going to go forwards in the future. Part of the problems with glass right now is it doesn't really get recycled. Not a lot of people are grinding it up and turning it, and recycling it and making bottles out of it. A lot of times, even though you recycle it, it ends up in a landfill anyway, and that's not good. And we have to keep looking forward to the future of our planet and what we can do. You know, and so alternative packaging like aluminum cans are, I think 95% recyclable. Most cans, from the time that you recycle them, within 30 days, they're back on the shelf, which is, ultimately, we should be doing that with glass, but it's just not happening at this point in time.
Yeah. Well, you launched cans a few years ago. This is nothing new. It's just the red that's new in the can.
Yeah. And, we thought we'd try it. We'd been getting requests, and so we tried it, and it's quite good. I had a can the other night. It was good.
And your Cab Limburger blend, that was one of the first 90-point scoring dry reds from the Finger Lakes, now quite a few years ago. It was Wine and Spirits, but... It's really good wine, and it's not just the cheapest wine out there that goes in the can. It's really good wine.
Yep, and that particular blend, the Cabernet Franc and Limburger, they blend well together to make a really nice drinking red wine, dry, full body. You know, it's got all the things that you're looking for in a red wine. And and both those grape varieties grow really well here in the Finger Lakes, so it's a pretty easy blend to put together. We've always thought about in terms of cans that we're going to put whatever we put in the can is going to be one of our best. So we got our Chardonnay, in the can. We have our semi-dry Riesling in the can, and we put this red blend in the can. And to me, people who like to drink good wine. In many cases, they don't care how. They don't care about the package. They care about the quality of the wine that's in it. And so, if you put good quality wines in it, they'll buy it.
And in terms of the ages of people buying wine in a can, does it tend to younger ages, or is it kind of across the board?
Oh, it's totally across the board. Actually, the older generation tends to buy larger quantities of it because I think they really know where they're going to be using it, whether they use it in their hotel room or they're using it at their pool or on their boat or on a picnic. But we tend to see an older generation buy by larger quantities. In other words, not a single can. They're buying more like four at a time.
And how long does it stay in the can? What do you recommend?
Six to 9 months is sort of what we're looking at industry-wise. And, you know, and that's just the freshness aspect of it, although we have stuff that's a year old that's drinking quite well. Usually with cans, you know, I think we as Americans, you know, when we get cans, we throw them right into the fridge, and so they're consumed quite early, and or quite soon, I should say. And so there's not a lot of aging going on with cans.
Right. But if you have it for 6 months and you'll forget about it, it's going to be fine.
Oh, yeah. Yep, totally. And, you know, on this red, we're going to, you know, we always keep stuff aside to see how it, how long it lasts. And so, you know, we'll, a year from now, we'll open up a can, some of the cans that we keep, and taste them and say, okay, is it holding up? Great. If not, you know, we have a date, an end date, so to speak.
Right, right. And Scott Osborne's with us from Fox Run Vineyards, the west side of Seneca Lake, and your chef, Brad Holland, his brain is always working. Just a fascinating person to talk to, and he's been doing some online cooking classes, I think.
Yeah, we want to generate things that are interesting and engaging, and so we've working with Brad. He's now coming up every Tuesday. He has a cooking demo, and he tries to make things that are, you know, that once you have all the chopping done, you know, you can fix that up in 10 minutes, and so we do that every day or every Tuesday. It's on Instagram and Facebook, and you know, he's just fascinating to listen to and to watch when he does these things.
Well, I've known him for a lot of years, and I sort of think about Brad and Peter Bell, Brad and Peter Bell, your winemaker, as they're both, one's a cerebral chef and the other's a cerebral winemaker. They just, it's fascinating and to see them interacting with each other. And when we're back to doing events and things, some of the tasting block events that you did, and it's the two of them are just a fascinating pair of people to interact over food and wine.
And we're incredibly fortunate to have them here and have them being together. And it's really interesting to watch them when we're doing, for instance, when we do our food and wine experience. Before we do that, Brad comes up with a bunch of dishes, and then we sit down and taste wines, and we discuss the wines. And to watch Peter and Brad discuss if something's just not working well together, but we want to use it, you know, they discuss, you know, and here's where that cerebral part comes into. They discuss, you know, the intensity of individual spices and, you know, eliminating them or putting them in to make that particular dish more compatible with the wine. It's fascinating to listen to.
One of the things to look forward to as events start reappear, hopefully this summer or fall in the Finger Lakes. And one thing people can do now, beyond just ordering wine online and having it shipped to them, maybe join a wine club, right? The Fox Run Wine Club, and you'll send them some wine four times a year.
Yeah, and you know, we also, when we're able to, we have pickup parties beforehand. You know, this next shipment, you know, we're not going to be able to have a pickup party, so we're just going to add an extra bottle into the shipment to. You know, to let our wine club members know that they're really special to us and they're important as our consumers, and that, you know, they're they're just really important to it. And I think, you know, people, especially at this time, you know, wine clubs are not only Fox Run, but other wineries' wine clubs are important to join because you can get, you know, you get wine shipped to you. Usually you know what those wines are. And, you know, it just, it helps out that particular winery. It helps them look forward to surviving in the future. And then there's a lot of other perks that go along with it. Once we're able to start tasting again, you know, our wine club members get free tastings when they come in. And, you know, next year when we do the Garlic Festival, there's the wine club only tent, you know, and the wine club members get to sit down with the wine team and talk wine. It's generally, it's a lot of fun. And we like it because, you know, Ruth and I like it because we get to meet. We get to meet a lot more people on a one-on-one basis because of it.
And wine clubs, it's a way to, in a sense, invest in a winery at a pretty small level. It's not that expensive, and yet you don't have the stress of wondering whether the frosts are going to hurt the grapes or, you know, what. All the things that a winery owner and vineyard manager has to worry about.
Yeah, that's so right.
So, again, and some people are members of just one wine club for years and years. Some people change wine clubs just to try different wineries. Some people are members of multiple wine clubs, probably of several of their favorite wineries. And it's, again, it's a vote of, you know, buying a bottle of wine or a case of wine is a vote of support. Joining a wine club is it's just an even bigger vote of support for the industry and the winery.
Yeah, it's interesting. I have a friend who she belongs to 9 wine clubs. And, you know, it's her way of, you know, she's supporting those wineries, but she's supporting them because she likes the wines that they produce. And then she knows she's going to be, she doesn't have to go visit them all the time, but she knows that they're going to show up over a period of a couple of months. And so she gets this multiple wines to try and enjoy.
Also, Fox Run ships to quite a few states, so people can send wine to family, friends, send them a few bottles, half a case, full case, and some whites, some reds, some tawny port. I mean, really, you can also send quite a range of wines.
Oh yeah, and I'll tell you, that's one of the fortunate things that that we've had going for us is we shipped about 40 states. And so we've been getting orders from all over the country and people shipping to their friends and family and, you know, as far away as California and Colorado. And, you know, so it's a nice outlet. And it also shows the broad national support of Finger Lakes wine.
Yeah, well, sure. Show our pride in the region and send people a box of wine to taste. Again, several bottles or quite a few. The dry rosé I mentioned, but you've got your Lake Diana series, which got a bunch of 90-point scores recently of Rieslings. We're a very diverse region, so lots of options to send people.
We just released our Cabernet Franc Lemberger blend just about a couple of weeks ago. So it's you know, that along with the rosé, those are the sort of new vintages that are out. And it's at this time, you know, you start to see other wineries in the Finger Lakes releasing newer vintages, and you know, along with their dry rosés.
Well, Scott, hope it doesn't get too cold the next couple nights. In the Finger Lakes, bud break hasn't really started, so things will hopefully be okay for this year's production. And but it happens every year, right? This is just, you know, there's always a late frost. There's always a early frost in the fall. It's just, you've done this enough years, you kind of expect it.
Yeah, and the thing that looks really good right now is it's you can get a temperatures of 31 or 30 degrees, which you know, you would normally expect a frost. But as long as we have good air movement, you tend not to have a frost, and it looks like the cold nights Monday morning and Tuesday, we're going to have 10 to 15 mile an hour winds, and so the chances of a frost are lessened substantially because of that. It's when we're good. Really concerned is when we're going to have 34 or 33 degrees and absolutely no wind, because then you're going to get a frost, and it'll be a killing frost. So we're keeping our fingers crossed for the next couple of days that the wind keeps up. But I have a fan, you know, one of these big wind machines in one of the low spots in my vineyard. And so if the wind dies down below 5 miles an hour, that fan kicks in at 34 degrees and blows the warm air that's higher up, blows that warm air around in that little cold spot. So hopefully we won't get a frost there.
All right. Well, good luck with the weather here. And bud break's always exciting. It's kind of the, you know, it's the opening of the new season.
It is. And we really look forward to it. And then the work really starts, because
right.
You have Mother Nature, and she doesn't stop on holidays or weekends. You know, she just keeps going. And so that's when we really have to be on top of everything, because things change from day to day and week to week.
Yeah, but you spent time in California. It's boring there, right? The weather's the same all the time, and yeah, here's far more interesting.
Yep. Oh, without a doubt. I, you know, if you get stressed out growing grapes here and you don't want to be stressed out, then move out to California. You won't have anything to worry about.
Scott, thank you for your time this morning, and happy Mother's Day to Ruth and all of your staff. Great to catch up with you.
It is, Michael, and it's good to talk to you again, and thank you for all you do for our industry.
It's an exciting time in the Finger Lakes, absolutely. So, and have a great day.
Yep, happy Mother's Day. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, bye-bye. Yep. That's Scott Osborne. He and his wife Ruth, owners of Fox Run Vineyards, and it is the west side of Seneca Lake. One of the best places during the winter season to watch the snow geese that have been overwintering on Seneca Lake. They've left now. I think they're up in the Arctic somewhere, but I fond memories of standing on their deck at Fox Run during the winter and seeing this ice flow out in the middle of Seneca Lake, which the snow geese, they're on the lake, you know, and hanging out together, but they're so close to each other that you and they're so far out, you can't see individual geese. It just looks like snow. And they congregate very closely together for warmth, relative warmth, no doubt. One of the people that was out there on the deck said, look at that, look at the ice out in the lake. And it's brilliant white, really quite striking. And they've been overwintering there, I don't know, maybe the last 5 or 6 years. The phone number here, 585-346-3000. If you have comments, questions on wine and places to suggest, you can also email me, michael@saverlife.com. We'll take a quick break. Be back afterwards from our sponsors on WYSL 1040.
Down in Petersburg, everything's fine. All them cats is drinking that wine. Drinking that mess is their delight. When you get drunk, start singing all night. Drinking wine's for you to drink wine. Wine's for you to drink wine. Wine's for you to drink wine.
Welcome back. Michael Warren Thomas here, the sponsors of The Grapevine. Some places you need to order wine from. Chateau Lafayette Renault. Get some wine from them, the east side of Seneca Lake. That area, kind of known as the banana belt of the Finger Lakes, with a particularly wide and deep part of Seneca Lake. The air that comes across is moderated. And especially in the fall, allowing longer ripening. And the dry reds from Chateau Lafayette Renault Been winning awards and gold medals in California for many years. And Delicious Whites, they won the Governor's Cup a few years ago, too. It's clrwine.com, Chateau Lafayette Renault. You can do curbside pickup, or they can ship you wine and get a mixture of, try 12 different wines or 6 different wines and have them shipped to you or maybe to a family friend. It's clrwine.com, Chateau Lafayette Renault. Also brought to you by Casa Larga, our hometown winery here in Minot County. They're in Fairport on Turkhill Road and a gorgeous location. They have a curbside pickup available. They are, I think, doing some delivery and also, of course, shipping wine. Casa Larga is well known for ice wine. They have their ice wine festival each February and celebrate a wine that's can't be made in that many parts of the world, especially with vinifera grapes, where it's cold enough to freeze them on the vine outside, which is how traditional ice wine is made, but also warm enough that you can grow vinifera grapes. They also do a Vidal ice wine, several for you to get. They make a wonderful gift. They are a cool bottle, and again, they can ship those to family and friends if you want to send them something maybe they've never tried or weren't even aware existed. They make a beautiful package and a beautiful gift. They also do sparkling wine that's delicious and dry rosé and many reds and whites. Go to casalarga.com and get more details. Also brought to you by Bricolo Tree and Lawn Care. Their garden center is open, and they can do things like deliver mulch. They can also design and install perhaps a vegetable garden. Maybe you want to grow more of your own food and at least have some fresh herbs and cherry tomatoes you can pick from your garden, but you just don't know where to do that in your yard. Where should I put a vegetable garden? Where am I going to get the soil? Want some really good soil to grow the vegetables in. They can design and install that for you and get you started. It's certainly not too late to think about a vegetable garden. In fact, it's ideal time. Some of the last frosts will come in the next few days, and then we can start to plant things like tomatoes later this month. And I've got peas and spinach growing in my vegetable garden right now from seed. So check with Bricolo Tree and Lawn Care. It's BricoloTreeAndLawn.com. And check with them about maybe delivering a couple of apple trees or pear trees from their nursery. Again, BricoloTreeAndLawn.com. Also brought to you by the artful gardener, Gene Westcott, is doing curbside pickup. You can shop online, the artful gardener. If there's something you're not sure about as a gift for someone or for yourself, she can put it out on the table behind the store for you to check out in person. Again, this is Mount Hope Avenue, right next to the cemetery, a beautiful place to explore this time of the year. And the Artful Gardener, the store is closed, but again, you can shop online, theartfulgardenerny.com. And then Gallia's Tropical Greenhouse, they are located on Pittsburgh, the corner of Jefferson and Clover, not far from the Birdhouse, also another one of our sponsors of the gardening show. And both locations just around the corner, and both are doing curbside service and open 7 days a week. Gallias.com, and it's the BirdhouseNY.com. Two great locations, again, right around the corner from each other in Pittsburgh. And finally, brought to you by Roarbox. This is one of the original craft breweries in Rochester back in 1991. They are on Railroad Street by the Public Market, where their main brewery is located, but also have a brew pub on Buffalo Road, and that is open 7 days a week. Both locations doing takeout, and of course, get some beer to go with that. Everything from the spring release of Red Wings Ale to Space Kitty and their new Griddles beer. They're constantly innovating. I think last year they made 72 or 76 different beers, and they are not resting on their laurels of the Scotch Ale, one of their big sellers, but always innovating. So, again, get takeout both locations. Maybe get extra dishes to put in the freezer so you'll have some extra food put away and some great food. It's Roarbox.com for more details. When you call and visit our sponsors, tell them you heard about it here on The Grapevine. Welcome back. Mike Warren Thomas here. It's The Grapevine on WISL 1040, 92.1 FM. And SaverLife.com has a new website, and it is it's very exciting. Chris Clemens, one of our collaborators at RochesterFoodNet.com and also does the blog Exploring Upstate, redesigned doesn't do it justice, completely designed a new website for Saver Life and did an awesome job with it. It's fun for me to work on and edit, and looking forward to the rest of the year using this new website, which means it's even easier to go back and listen to some of the interviews in the last couple of weeks, and I'll be adding older interviews over time. I've got like thousands of them, really, literally thousands of interviews that I've archived and will be able to put up on this new website over time. So we'll sort of work our way backwards in time as we add new interviews. And so last week's interview with Christopher Bates, Master Sommelier and owner, along with his wife Isabel, of a bunch of restaurants in Geneva, as well as the FLX Wienery just south of Geneva. Interviewed him last weekend about his secret tasting cases that they're doing at FLX Provisions. And he launched a wine shop on Linden Street right near his FLX Table restaurant and now FLX Freibird. Also, they moved down to the end of the street, so they have more space. And they are open during the shutdown for takeout. FLX Freibird, I had a notorious sandwich just about a week ago when I stopped down to pick up the secret tasting case. This is a way to do blind tastings if you like, or just to taste a bunch of wines from around the world. He has rebottled wines from around the world into 6-ounce bottles that are kind of adorable. And you can order them in groups of six, basically, 6, 12, 24, and they have just a number on the bottle. And then you can look that up on the FLX Provisions website to see what that wine is, maybe after you taste it, after you guess what it is, or you can do it beforehand and just read the tasting notes. What we did was to, we opened like 5 bottles or 5 of us last weekend, and we could each have an ounce, a little over an ounce of each wine. And in the end, we drank 6 ounces of wine each. But we had 5 different wines, and he does this with argon, so they are fairly stable. And got some great notes online about each of these wines. We tasted wines from around the world in those 5 bottles. So I think a fascinating and creative way to enjoy wine. It's obviously great for people who are studying to be sommeliers because they don't have to buy entire bottles of wine. It's there'll be a lot of people buying it for that reason. But for the general public, really, I thought it was a great evening, as long as you don't take it too seriously, because, as I've said many times, blind tastings are humbling experiences. And the more you think you know about wine, the more difficult those blind tastings become in some ways. So it's a window into the world of wine, and you can order them online at flxprovisions.com. Pick them up on Linden Street, or they'll ship them to you. But a really creative idea. Some wineries are, I know Living Roots is doing this, and also Zugby Vineyards will be in the near future offering these single-serving bottles of their own wine. But FLX Provisions is doing this with wines from around the world. And just a cool idea. So, again, if you want details on anything you heard us talk about today, email me, michael@saverlife.com. And check out the new website, saverlife.com. I look forward to hearing what you think about it. Happy Mother's Day. We'll be back next Saturday with Gardening Restaurants. Discover the Finger Lakes here on WYSL 1040.